Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. We're thankful to be here and hear the Word of God discussed again and to anticipate what He has for us in the next few minutes. I would like you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13 and 14, we'll start there this morning. I guess we'll read verse 12 too. So it says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In Him, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance with the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. The question I have to start off the message this morning is this. It's a simple one, but it's, does truth matter? Does truth matter? Does it really matter if you work with truth or not? Does it matter to farmers to have to know the truth? Well, we know that it matters to farmers. It matters how deep you plant your corn. It matters how you take care of your animals. It matters. The truth about that matters. It makes a difference in your bottom line. Does truth matter to doctors? Does truth matter to doctors? Absolutely does. Truth does matter to a doctor. They need to know their tolerances in the body, and they need to know how various chemistry aspects work in the body. And so they spend many years in college to find out the truth about these things so that they can practice a safe practice, and they can go in their doctor's office. There's a plaque hanging on the wall that said he graduated from Ohio State Medical School, and I passed with good grades and all, whatever they say, that the truth does matter. Truth matters a lot. Truth matters in space exploration. Traveling at 15,000 miles an hour, and they come back into the Earth's atmosphere, they got to hit it exactly the right way, or the spaceship will explode. Truth does matter, and truth matters in many things. But it seems like we're willing to take the risk when it comes to spiritual things and say, "Oh well, either truth is over here or." You know, these people are true and so forth. Does it really matter if we're not quite true in our Christian life? And in the society in which we live in, does truth matter? We know Brother Maynard said this morning, you can't trust the truth anymore. You can't trust the news anymore. It's not, you don't know whether it's true. And I often went away from a gas pump and you buy 20 gallon of gas, and how do you know you got 20 gallon? How do you know? Well, you trust the people, you trust the Walmart, or you trust the sheets, or whatever. But beyond that, there's a department of weights and measures that goes around and checks the pump periodically, and this pump pumps 5 gallon when it says that we pump 5 gallon. It's true. It's true. So, you know, and truth really does matter in every aspect of life. But does truth matter to you as a Christian, and especially in the world in which we live when there's so many false beliefs? Does truth really matter? We get so used to being lied to. We know that, for instance, Fox News, they tend to favor one side of the political spectrum, and CNN favors the other side. And who's telling the truth? It's vastly different stories. How do you know what the truth is? Well, not here to talk about that this morning, but I want to repeatedly ask you the question, do you know what is true about your life? And that ultimately, when you come to God's judgment bar, how do you know you are going to stand there in truth before an almighty God? It is big business to steal identity today. One time I got a call from AT&T, and they said that somebody has bought a $1,500 smartphone and put it on my account. Did you do that? And I said, no, that wasn't me. Well, they said there must be fraud then. So they took it off. But somebody up in New York City had gotten my account number and all my identity and stolen it and went on a buying splurge and bought a $1,500 smartphone and because he stole my identity. Today, we have something that identifies us as Christians. And I would like to talk about that this morning. And we read it already in Ephesians 1 here, where it says that after you trusted in truth, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were stamped. God stamped you as a Christian. You trusted in truth. And ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Might talk about that a little more as we go through this. But I would like to look at the title of the sermon this morning is The Seal of God and Its Counterfeit. The Seal of God and Its Counterfeit. I want to look first at the seal of God. Number one, the Christian is sealed with the Holy Spirit upon a choice to follow Christ Jesus. To trust Jesus. You were sealed. There is a seal with the Holy Spirit upon a choice to trust Jesus for your salvation. Verse 14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. I bought a property one time and we gave earnest money. We had a down payment. We gave earnest money. It guaranteed that that property was going to be mine. We hadn't fully realized the transfer of the deed yet, the transfer of the property into my name, but the earnest money was put out there for a promise that the that that property was going to be mine, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Sometimes we read over these verses and we kind of run them all together and, oh, yeah, that's Bible jargon or whatever. But listen, today, we want to be verified. We want it certified that we are going to be on the right side in judgment day. That's what it's saying. We are the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the Christian is sealed with the Holy Spirit upon a choice to trust Jesus. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit upon trusting the word of truth. And my dear people, this morning, the Holy Spirit always aligns itself with this Bible. It's truth. This is proven to be truth. This is sealed by God as truth, the word of God. I ask you this morning, do you have the seal of the Holy Spirit on your life? Where God looks down at you, at Joe or Stuart or Keith, child of mine, you're mine. You're mine. It's imperative that we know this. When Jesus comes back for his purchased possession, it is when we will realize this in its fullness. Imagine in going to the airport, two planes just alike. One goes one way and one goes another. How do you know which plane to get on? They look exactly the same. They're in gates right next to each other. Well, it's because your name is on the ticket. And it says gate 35 and the other one says gate 36. And it's because you have proven your identity. How about it this morning? Have you proven your identity? The world in which we live, like we said before, is full of fraud and deception. And it's out to get us as Christians. There's no, I think it's safe to say that the Christians are hunted, and the world and Satan wants to destroy us. So let's know whether we're a certified Christian or not. And it says here that after you believed on the word of truth, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Has the Holy Spirit entered into you? Number two, the Christian is sealed by God and by Christ upon believing the word of truth, almost the same. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Let's go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18 and following. For the preaching of the cross, 2 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us, I'm reading in 1 Corinthians. Need to go to the 2 Corinthians. Didn't think it sounded right. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Now, the preaching of the truth of the word of God is not yea and nay. It's not yes, it's this, and no, it's, you know, it's not yea and nay, but it's yea and nay and nay. It's either true or it's false. It condemns it. But as God is true, our word to you was not yea and nay. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached unto you, among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So here again, truth establishes the Christian. Now, when our lives don't line up with truth, then we're like a carpenter where it doesn't line up. You have a board cut wrong, it doesn't line up. If the building is true, it doesn't line up. We are sealed upon evidence of transformation of our minds and hearts. I believe that's what it's saying here. We are transformed into his likeness by truth. Number three, departing from iniquity is the verification of the seal of God. Let's go over to 2 Timothy 2, 17 and 18 and 19. 2 Timothy 2, 17, let's read there. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There is an evidence of you living in truth, that you have the Holy Spirit, that you are one, and you have the earnest of the inheritance. It's the seal of God. It's this, that you depart from iniquity. Don't fool yourself. The world is full of iniquity, and so-called Christianity is full of iniquity. It is those who depart from iniquity that are Christ and who have the seal of God on themselves. It verifies the authentic from the false. When you do what's right, it verifies you as having the seal of the living God. It's by a behavior change. It's like Derry said this morning in Sunday school, it's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and all those things, goodness, faith. That's what you do. The church should be filled with this fruit of the Spirit, should be graced by the fruit of the Spirit, and all those things, meekness and temperance and so forth, that they are Christ and crucified the flesh with the affections and loves. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Number 4, unforgiveness and bitterness can grieve the Holy Spirit and destroy the seal. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It grieves me many times when I hear people in the church destroying one another. Obvious evidence of bitterness. I wonder sometimes how many churches there would be if it wouldn't be for personality differences and bitterness. There could be a lot less in a lot bigger churches. Clamor, anger, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Unforgiveness and bitterness can grieve the Holy Spirit and destroy the seal of God upon you. How about it? What do you say? Think about yourself right now. Think about your life. What have you said about your fellows? Your fellow church members. It's taking, if you are participant in saying the wrong things and bitter and hateful, and hurtful things, the seal of God will come away. And then you will be open to deception. I think that is pretty evident from that well-used passage of Scripture. Christ is truth. Faith in Christ is surrounded with truth. Truth does matter. Love does matter because it's truth. Unforgiveness and bitterness can grieve the Holy Spirit and destroy the seal that is over you in the Holy Spirit. Fifthly, I want to go to Revelations chapter 7. Revelation 7. Here we come to the end of time, the end of the world, and we see the seal of God on the believer. I just want to read this. And after things, Revelation 7, verse 1, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and the winds shall not blow on the earth, nor in the sea, nor in any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. This angel was the real, confirmed, certified angel of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. There it is again. We have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And verse 4 says, and I heard the number of them that were sealed, and they were sealed in 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. And I believe that 144,000 is a vast number that is indicative of the church at large. 144,000, as we told you the other Sunday, 12 and multiples of 12 are the redeemed. And so that then it goes on the next couple of verses and talks about the 12,000 out of each tribe. But in verse 9 it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, salvation, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." This group at judgment were identified by the seal of God upon them. And the ecstasy of the redeemed and that vast, it's when we read this, it gives us chills going down our back. But the ecstasy of the redeemed was capped by them worshiping the Savior, the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and the Lamb of God. And that was capped by them as they went into the very presence of God. And so we see that they were very much chosen by what they had did before. And verse 14 then says that, said unto them, "Sir, thou knowest," he said to them, "these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple." They washed their robes by the blood of the Lamb, by following truth, by becoming sealed by the Holy Spirit and transformed by his image, as it says over in Titus and so forth. Now I would like to we looked at the seal of God, and I've had a lot of different conversations the last while about the mark of the beast. And I see the mark of the beast as a satanic counterfeit. And that we need to look at this. The seal of God has a counterfeit in Satan's kingdom also, and that is the mark of the beast. More than that, we can expect that we will be at war with the world system and philosophy and intellectual unbeliefs. We as Christians need to expect that. Let's go over to Revelation 13. And it would be interesting to read this whole chapter. Not sure where to start and where to stop. Let's just start reading verse 1. "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power, and his seat, and great authority." Now, just so you will remember, I believe over in Daniel that these beasts were all mentioned, the leopard and the bear. And, countries and civilizations are known by their mascot. You know, the United States is known by the eagle. I believe the Russia is known by the bear. And I am not sure what a bunch of the rest of them are. I think England is known by some other animal. But I believe that's what's in reference here. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon and gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Here we have Satan's inspired beast blaspheming the name of God. The purpose of his blasphemy is to get people to move away from the seal of God, break away from the seal of God, and to serve him. And verse 8 says, And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in a book of life, slain from the foundation of the world. Now we see here that all people worship him except those who are not written in the book of life, lamb slain from the world, foundation of the world. The ones who are sealed do not worship him, but the ones who are unsealed and do not have sealed, they are open for the mark. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and spake as a dragon. Now I believe this verse 11 is talking about a counterfeit savior. I believe that all schools of prophecy will recognize that. In verse 11 says, And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He was the false prophet, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders in that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the might of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. There's an awful lot in there that we could talk about, and a lot of stuff that maybe I don't even know about. But the counterfeit beast of false religion in verse 11 is what I want to call attention to. I mentioned that as we went over it. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he exercises all the power of the first beast. The beast will seemingly verify his power by miracles. Now, I see this as a direct counterfeit to the reality of the seal that God places on believers. Verse 17, and that no man might by himself save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So I would like to just talk about this a little bit, and I certainly am open to debate and conjecture about this, but I would like to make some conclusions that I have made in my study of this, the seal of God and its counterfeit. Number one, the question is asked, well, before I say number one, the question is often asked is computer chips, COVID vaccine, is that going to be the mark of the beast? Well, let's look at the scriptures and see what they say. Number one, accepting the mark is sin for all who received it, and they are punished eternally. Accepting the mark is sin for all who receive it, and they are punished eternally. Let's go over to 14, verse 14, or chapter 14 and verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture unto the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, the faith of Jesus. Accepting the mark is sin. I think that we need to keep that in mind when we think about all these things that are being talked about as being part of the mark of the beast. Number two, the mark must be consciously received. It cannot be forced upon men against their will. Verse 15 says that in Revelation 13. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as should not worship the image of the beast, they should be killed. The mark is consciously received, and it cannot be, you choose to take the mark, and it's not subconsciously given to you by some means that they're not aware of. I think it's very important that we understand that. The mark must be consciously received and cannot be forced upon men against their will. The mark is applied to the right hand and the forehead of all beast worshippers, just as the seal of God was applied to the forehead of the Christian. Again, an indication of a counterfeit. Like the seal of God in his servants' foreheads identifies true worshippers of the Lamb, the mark of the beast identifies those who have worshipped the beast. Let's go to verse 16 in chapter 13. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their foreheads or their... Or verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause them as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So today, the mark of the beast, you choose to take the mark of the beast. You choose to go out from under the protection of God. You choose those things. There is a time coming. I fully believe that there is a time coming when it's going to be, where it will be almost impossible for the Christian to survive. I think that's pretty clear here in the scriptures. It says that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. I believe that it might be. It very possibly will be. That it is impossible for us to survive, and we likely will be fugitives and vagabonds and so forth, like a lot of the saints of the old were. I think we need to remember, though, that the mark of the beast is received upon a conscious choice to worship the beast. The question is asked whether credit cards, secret numbers, computer programs, internet, COVID vaccine, and many other things are innocently accepted, will it be something with dire results like being cast away from God eternally? I say no. You consciously receive the mark of the beast. Don't worry, dear ones. The seal of God is upon you. Those who love the truth and are obedient to the truth, the seal of God is upon you. And when you walk up there to God on Judgment Day, He will see that seal and He'll look down on you and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Here is your inheritance. Therefore is laid up for thee a crown of righteousness. Enter into the joy of my Lord. The seal of God and its counterfeit. The big question for us today in our setting is the seal of God on your life. Are you living in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit? That is the seal that we as Christians enjoy. Let's kneel together in prayer.